You're in tune to KDWA FM 97.7 AM 1460. You know that it's fall when it's time for the Tim Collins Show. We have on the phone Mr. Tim Collins. Tim, how the heck are you?
Wow, what a gorgeous day. What a gorgeous week we've been having. Although I've heard in the news reports a little bit of a downer is that it's going to be a tough winter again, but I'm doing good. We're ready to get school started, and there's been a lot going on, Dan, in the last 3 to 4 months for the Hastings School District and with our facilities, and beautiful evening last night for the opening event on Todd Field. And yeah, we're, as always, definitely next week is one of the best weeks of my year, because just kids do want to get back to structure. Kids do want to get back to school by their friends. They do want to get back into a pattern of life. And definitely elementary school, when those kindergartners and first graders are coming, it's always fun to see their eyes, their personalities, and what a change for a kindergartner. We're ready to go, and there's been a lot happening.
You bet there has. I'd like to, first of all, before we get started, Tim, I was very saddened to hear about your retirement. I want to publicly thank you for all you have done for the school district. In my opinion, I feel, and I know a lot of people share that opinion too, that you were a great superintendent. Hastings was very fortunate to have you. You took us through some hard, hard times. You had to make some really hard decisions. Being in management myself, I know that when you make those kinds of decisions, there's going to be a group of people that aren't going to agree with them, and there's going to be a group of people that do. But I feel that you, through your tenure, what's it been, 16 years, have done a fabulous job. You've been, you've done so much for this community, and I hate to see it go. But I just want to thank you for all you've done. And I know you've given up a lot of your family life to be at meetings, and you weren't able to watch your kids grow up like I know the family person you are. But again, thank you for those sacrifices, and thank you for everything you've done for this community.
Well, I appreciate that. And, you know, Dan, when I first became a superintendent, I don't know, 26 some years ago, one of the things that I was naive about was I thought that with every problem, if you just sat down and you'd come up with a solution that everybody was, you know, happy with. And I soon found out, after about being 2 weeks on the job, it doesn't matter the magnitude of the decision. It doesn't matter how many people it involves. Almost every decision that you make, whether you're a superintendent or whether you're a principal or whether you're in a different leadership position, even with coaching, teaching, et cetera, there's almost always going to be somebody that doesn't agree with your decision. And that's part of being in the position. But I've said this before, I've been in 5 different communities education-wise, well, probably even more than that as far as being a teacher, et cetera. And the one thing about the Hastings community, they support education like nobody else, and the patience that they have. And I've talked about this how many times on the radio show, all the changes that Hastings did have to make, from redrawing the boundary lines 3 times, the busing where now kindergartners ride on the bus with seniors and juniors, to increasing the walking distance, to making some of the curriculum changes of no longer having, you know, German, all those things throughout the years. I've always found that the community as a whole, they listen, they understand, they don't like the decision, but they always sit back and say, hey, if this is what we need to do, we roll up our sleeves and we do it. So I appreciate those words. I also know that everybody's replaceable, and the next superintendent that comes into my position, I wish them the very best, and I hope that they feel that all the T's have been crossed, all the I's have been dotted, and that the district and the community as a whole is in a good position to move to the next steps of improving the educational system. And I think that Hastings is a lot of very great candidates for the position, because I believe that right now Hastings, after the community approving another $50 million bond and our roofs being fixed and Todd Field and the middle school, those improvements being made, and the fact that we have about $13 million in the bank, it's going to attract a lot of top quality superintendents, and I'm very happy for that as well. So anyway, thank you for those kind words. And, you know, talking about the bond issue, just to let people know, you know, with the high school roof coming in under bid, that's going to allow us to do a lot of other great things for the district. I'm sure there were many people that have driven by Todd Field over the last few weeks, and they can see the improvements that have been made there. And, you know, it's not just for the football game on Friday night. It's going to be for all the extended youth programs that are going to be able to use Todd Field, and the community that's going to be able to enjoy Todd Field. And the middle school, just a huge thank you to our staff, as with all construction projects, Dan. We're behind schedule on some of the things, and unfortunately for some of our teachers who this week have been trying to get into their rooms, if they're listening to this radio show right now, they're probably listening from the middle school. On Saturday, they're probably going to be at the middle school. On Sunday, they're going to probably be at the middle school, because a few of the rooms weren't done and ready to go. And you know what? Not one teacher complained to me about that. They're not happy about it, just like I wouldn't be happy about it, and I understand that, but they understand that you get into some of these projects, and that's just the way it goes in the construction world, and they're going to roll up their sleeves, and we're going to be ready to go. And I can only tell the community, I wish everybody would have that opportunity at some point here when the middle school gets completely done. You know, we'll open it up just so people can walk down and get a feel for the improvement to our locker rooms and our shower rooms, and the privacy that a sixth grader is going to have, and a seventh grader and an eighth grader is going to have when they want to change their clothes now for gym, or if they want to shower after practice. It is just, quite honestly, it's the way every shower room and locker room should be in America. And not every community can afford to make the upgrades that we made. The fact that a seventh grade boy or girl can now close a door behind them, they can take off their street clothes, so to speak, and they can put on their gym clothes in the privacy and then go to gym. Just what a huge improvement, Dan. It's the way it should have been all along. One of the teachers said this to me the other day, and I hadn't even thought about it this way. He said, "Tim, did you ever shower in front of your brothers at home?" And I said, "No. That would have been very, very awkward." He goes, "Yeah, so you never showered in front of your brothers at home, but you would come to school and you would be expected to shower in front of them for football practice or basketball or baseball practice." And I go, "Yeah, that's true."
Boy, what a way to frame that, huh?
Yeah, and I was like, "Yeah, that's true." And so I'd come to school and it'd be awkward because I'd be in the shower with, you know, my brothers. But the improvements, and the fact that because our bids came in under on the middle school roof, we're now going to, when I say we, the school board is going to have the opportunity to look to maybe do this at our high school too. Hopefully the rest of the projects come under bid on Wednesday night. We're going to have our work session up at the high school, and Wold is going to walk us through and show us how you could, you know, do that at the high school, not only in the bathrooms. We're talking about taking the urinals out of the bathrooms at the high school and in their place, you know, replacing them with a stall. And when you do build the privacy showers, you eliminate, you need more space to have the privacy shower, Dan.
Right.
So I want to enhance them there. You know, how much space will we eliminate? But as a former coach myself, I know that you can then control how the showers are used, so to speak. You know, when I was a football coach, let's say if we have four less showers in the boys locker room at the high school, then as a coach, you can just say at 4:30, quarter to five, okay, receivers, you're done for the day, go in and shower. And a coach go in with them. And then 15 minutes later, you can say, okay, running backs and quarterbacks, you're done. No, you go on. So you can. And the other thing that we know that has changed over time, Dan, is more and more students are showering at home and they're not showering at the school. But that might be because of the privacy issue.
Right.
So it's kind of a guessing game. So if we eliminate some of the showers at the high school to, you know, have more privacy, maybe they will get used more because our students are like, okay, well, now I'll shower at school because I can do it in my privacy and then I can go out with some friends afterwards, et cetera. So anyway, what's exciting about it is, you know, the old phrase, build it and they will come. You know, we went out and looked at Edina. We went out and looked at Shakopee as a board, as our coaches, as our athletic directors, and we thought, yeah, this is pretty nice. We think this would work out great here. It is a huge improvement. And I know that not all of the community can take the time to walk into our locker rooms and our shower rooms, so this radio show gives me the opportunity to try to paint a picture for the improvement that we are going to have. So, you know, that's been happening. This fall, we're going to, the next phase of the bond is to re-roof Tilden, re-put the windows in Tilden. Part of that project's going to be done in the winter because the window crew said that they can come in December, January, and when we're on winter break, they can come in and hammer out the windows. So that project will be going. And then one of the final projects will be next summer out at the athletic complex. You know, we get a lot of concern about how far people have to walk to some of our 10th grade game fields, some of our 9th grade game fields, et cetera. We are going to put a small parking lot out in the middle of that site as well. So that'll be one of the final improvements of the bond project as well. So just been a lot happening. I want to mention that we had a great welcome back from the aspect that we had the Hastings Public School Foundation show up. Former board members from the Hastings Public School Foundation showed up that had been on the board in years. Former members that have given the What If grants over the last 17 years showed up. And they were there to give the new grants to our teachers. And what was really cool about it, Dan, was the grants that were given, it were dollars that have been given to the Hastings Public School teachers and programs over the years. So that's pretty special. Tell me how many schools and communities in the state of Minnesota can boast that they have a foundation that has given over $1 million of grants back to their school and their teachers and their programs over the last 17 years. And I bet it's only probably 10 to 15 schools in the state of Minnesota that can boast that. So quite a landmark. And for those people who are listening who don't know what the Hastings Public School Foundation is, people new to the community, it's a nonprofit organization where every penny is donated. There is not, you know, 1 ounce of overhead other than the audit that we're required to do annually. Every penny goes back to, it's invested, and it goes back to our students and our community. And what a great event that was to see that the dream that started over 20 years ago and the hard work and, again, the generous donations from grandparents, parents, business owners, and even our employees who do payroll deduct, definitely a great event and another reason why superintendents are going to want to come to the Hastings School District when you have something like that that other schools don't have. And so that was another great event that's taken place over the summer.
Now, do you know, Tim, some of those grants are, is somebody we can contact to find out who those grants are?
Yeah, I'll get you the list of the grants and what they went to, and you know the variety of programs, and from music to technology to special ed. I'll get you that list so you can give that some airtime as well.
All righty, because like you said, we're one of the few schools in the state of Minnesota that have such a grant, and we want to thank all the people that were responsible for that, because it was a lot of hard work, and like you say, every single cent goes right back into that school district.
And again, we started out the show talking about the superintendent position, and again, why it's going to get a strong list of candidates to come here. I've talked about the facilities reinvestment that's been made. I've talked about the fund balance that brings stability to the district. But the fact that there's a radio show for a superintendent in this community. There aren't a lot of communities that have a local radio show. There aren't a lot of communities that have HCTV. The United Way in town that gives very generously to the program. The fact that we have Hastings Family Service that benefits so many of our students and so many of our families. The Hastings Public School Foundation. The Doffing Fund that, I think the Doffing Funds give about, $60,000 to $90,000 annually. There's a lot of those pluses on why educational leaders are going to want to come to Hastings, because when I'm out at superintendent meetings and I'm sharing, I know that I get to operate in a situation where other superintendents don't have those benefits. So again, kudos to the community. And even though we've gone through the declining enrollment, and even though over those years we've lost those students that generate the dollars, we still have a very, very strong educational system. And we have a lot of activity that has been going on this summer because of that generosity and the improvements that we're making to our system, as a whole. So, a shout out, and this radio show allows me to give a shout out back to the residents who they have supported with their volunteering, and they have supported with their own personal checkbooks over the year as they've paid taxes to help put us in this position. And they've been patient with a lot of those decisions that have been made. I mean, you only have to look at Stillwater. And the tough situation that's going on in the Stillwater School District right now when a school building has been closed, or look at Eden Prairie when they try to redraw the boundary lines. There's a lot of negativity that goes through that. And we had some of that discussion back in those times too. But in the end, community says if that's what you have to do, then let's do it if it's going to benefit the system over the time. I shared that we've had a good teacher negotiations, and every negotiation goes down a different path. Both sides are trying to do what's best for their employees. I've never worked with a school board that doesn't want all of our employees compensated well, but at the same time, the board has to work within certain financial parameters. And I think it's safe to say that our previous round of negotiations lasted a little longer than what both sides wanted to. But as I said when I had my last negotiations with the teachers group, and I've been fortunate that over the years of negotiations, I think three or four of the teachers have been on those negotiations with me during that entire time frame. And I shared with them that the one thing that I have really appreciated is even though we've had to have some tough conversations over the years, and we always don't agree with each other's statements or philosophy at the table. I really appreciate the fact that when we walk away from that table, we respect one another. And I really appreciate the fact that I've been able to work with people that have that professional integrity. They don't go out and badmouth Tim Collins, or they don't go out and badmouth the board members when things aren't going, you know, good. And I've just really appreciated that. And that's a professional integrity that those leaders bring to the table when we've done the negotiations and we have a tentative agreement. We're just waiting now for the teachers to vote. And then I wholeheartedly believe that the school board will approve it as well. So we've had that's been going on over the summer as well. So
there is a tentative agreement with the teachers, you're saying, Tim, and when will the vote take place, do you know?
Well, I don't know their exact parameters. I think that they've been sharing the information with their members, and I believe that vote will take place next week here sometime. And then after they vote, then I can officially bring it to the entire school board. Right now, three board members have been sitting in on the negotiations. And quite honestly, we try not to share too much of that information with the rest of the board. The rest of the board has to have a trust that those three board members and myself are negotiating, you know, under the parameters that the entire board had laid out. And so the other four board members are, so to speak, kind of kept in the dark on all the discussion, because I've found over the years, why spend a lot of time of all the things that you talk about in negotiations and updating the board, and then maybe only 20% of them get voted on anyway? I've always found that to be kind of a waste of time.
Right.
And just wait till the end and then just bring those facts to the board. So yeah, we've had a good summer there. We started it back in March, and we've met just one or two times over the summer. And with the two committees, we have a tentative agreement, and now they just have to have the rest of their members vote on it as well. So that's been happening as well, Dan.
Boy, you've had a busy summer, and our time has flown by for the first show of the season, because we have waiting with some comment now, so be prepared. Don't be shocked. I'm going to push some buttons and see if I can remember to do this right here. We have Mr. Augie O'Brien on the line with us. How are you today, Augie?
I am doing fantastic. How are you guys?
Gee, you must
doing
be
doing good.
Sounds like you're on a landline today, because boy,
I'm
are you
on my cell phone?
Are you really?
Nice and clear.
Yeah, don't move. Just stay in that spot. Yeah. Don't move at all.
Yeah. That's impossible. I pace when I do this. So, no. Hey, Tim, all this talk about showering, I was thinking to myself, what kind of a home did Tim grow up in that he didn't have to shower with his brothers? So, I mean, we were poor. I don't know. We not only did I have to shower with my two brothers, sometimes my mom and dad were in there, too.
Just a minute. Let me get the bell. Okay, he was not even a minute into the show, and I had to use the bell.
And imagine when the neighbors ran out of hot water.
They
so it was that was one crowded bathroom.
You know, go ahead, Tim.
I do remember, and I don't know if this is normal or not, so I hate to even mention this on the air. We never did it with our daughters, but we lived in an apartment for about 12 years with my family, a two-bedroom apartment, and there was just one tub in this bathroom that was probably 6 feet by 5 feet is my recollection of it. And for whatever reason, I have a brother a year older than me and a brother a year younger than me, and I can remember up until about 7 or 8 years old, Mom would fill up the tub, and all three of us would hop in there. Why did they do that? I mean, was it to save water? Was it just efficient?
Yep.
And we all took a tub bath, and then we got our jammies on, we went to bed.
I think, you know what I think it was, Tim? I think our parents grew up, they were kids during the Depression and saw their parents saving water and everything they could. I mean, every scrap of food and stuff, and kind of carried it down through the ages and through the, you know, through the generations. And you're exactly right, because in our family, it was girl, boy, girl, boy. So we had a, so the first one in the tub always got the clean water, and then everybody else, you know, shared. So I know exactly what you're saying.
Okay, Augie, did that happen in your family too?
Yeah, and then one brother peed in it, and then we all had to get out.
Here we go.
This is actually the first time I've ever talked about that, because I just, as I got older, I found that to be weird.
Yeah.
And I never asked my mom and dad why they did that, and I never shared that we did that, and my brothers and I never talked about it. And I thought it was just because we, you know, didn't have much money. We lived in this apartment, and it was just an efficient, cost-saving way for my mom and dad to get us all in the tub at the same time. So yeah, for you to bring that up and mention that, wasn't that normal for you to shower in front of your brothers? I actually did take a bath with them, but it's weird how the sports show goes.
Yeah, we're trying to talk about sports. We have to do our picks and all that Augie still
got three. We only got three tick picks, Tim. And the fact, when we were little kids, of course, it wasn't a big deal to be in the tub. But with your family, when you're in your teens, you shouldn't be in there together.
Wow. This is the tone of the season is starting out, isn't it? Well, let's get moving on.
When you're in high school, it is weird.
Well, and you know, when you were talking about that, Tim, I was thinking to myself that middle school is an awkward age for kids anyway. And why did they make us all, you know, strip down and shower together? And, you know, why didn't somebody back then think about that? But of course, maybe it was money again. You know, the school districts didn't have the money, and I don't know what was the reason for that.
Well, it's still happening in 96% of all, you know, yes, schools. They don't have the privacy showers, and yeah, it definitely was the efficiency. You could bring the water all to one post or all to one wall, and you didn't have to build extra walls. So I'm sure it was just a cost-saving measure, but it is odd that at that point in time that somebody didn't say, isn't this kind of awkward? Why are we designing them this way? So now we are having that discussion, and you know, the high school, again, when we look at that, some of the bathrooms, it won't cost a lot of money to bring privacy to the bathrooms, but it'll cost some money to redo our showers and look at the privacy there. But anyway,
yeah,
times change, and you improve things over time. And to me, this is just one huge, huge improvement. I'm just happy that moving forward at our middle school, students are going to have that privacy. That's the way it should be. And thank you to the community for, I mean, I think our locker rooms and shower rooms overall to redo, and it was time, you know, it was built in 1970. Some of the plumbing was no longer working, and the only way to fix it is to jackhammer out the tile, jackhammer out the walls. But it was a $3 to $3.5 million project to do the middle school locker rooms and showers.
All righty, all that said and done, let's get on and do our picks. Now, Zach isn't here today. He's off vacationing. So we won't do our football, I mean, our season stuff until next week. But, Augie, I had to reduce our picks this week to 2 weeks because I'm going to be honest with you. I was on vacation and just trying to dig out of everything. I didn't go through your email until last night. So you were the only one that had the, so we'll stick with the Badgers and the Packers. So pick order starting this season. We're going to just pick up where we left off last year would be Augie, Zach, which he gave me his picks, Tim, and myself. So Badgers at South Florida Bulls. Augie, you're first.
Okay. Not that I respect the Badgers. There's a reason why they're ranked in the top 20, but I think they're overranked. I just don't think they have the quarterback that they've had in the past. I don't think they're the same team. I think when Minnesota took the axe away from them last year, that was proven that they were getting worse instead of better. Southern Florida was 7-0 last year in their first seven games. They're not a pushover team. They're actually very good. And this is just like South Dakota was ranked very high. Not that South Florida is ranked very high because they're in the same divisions that we are, the same, college-wise. But anyways, I'm going with the upset. I think Southern Florida is going to upset Wisconsin this week. I think that's it's one of those games where it's hard to win in Florida on the road. Unless a hurricane comes through, then they won't play at all. But I'm going to predict Southern Florida upset Wisconsin this week.
Okay, Zach went with the Badgers. Tim, you're next.
Well, what's crazy about this is on Friday night, Tammy and I went to a Twins game, and sitting right in front of us was a family from Florida who had been up to Minnesota for the first time, so they thought they'd taken a Twins game. The guy turned around to me and said, out of the blue, I just want to let you know I attended the University of South Florida, and they will beat the Badgers on the opening game. And so because of that...
That wasn't me, was it? That wasn't me, was it?
No. And so I said to him, oh, come on. And he gave me he goes, hey, they had a heck of a record last year. They had a heck of a team. Nobody gave them credit. They will beat the Badgers. And so I was going to take South Florida. But now that Augie took them, I'm going with Wisconsin.
Okay, and I'm going with Wisconsin. And the second one, Packers at Chicago, taking on the Bears. Augie, well, I'll just put you, I'll put you down for the Bears, right?
Well, maybe. you know what? And it's not because I dislike the Packers. The Packers have a great record against the Bears, even though the Bears are right now the better team. Well, they're the best team in the NFC North. We're not, and the Packers aren't. The Bears are the one that won it last year, so... And they got an excellent defense. It is Thursday night football. God, you know what? I know Zach's going to pick the Packers, and you're going to pick the Packers. So I'm going to go with the Bears just to be different.
Yep, and so far the only one I left open was Tim's.
Oh, I just think Chicago is that tough, and at home, and. I just think Chicago's that tough of a football team, and their coach has some creativity in him, and he's willing to take some chances, too. So I'm going with the Bears at home.
All righty.
Yeah, Tim, you know why that guy's got so much creativity? He's been to my middle school games.
So. Yeah, I know.
Of course. Of course that has to be it.
Yeah, well, he would do that type, and I love that.
oh, my God.
And kids love that. Kids love it, and adults love it. You gotta have that mix and be willing to take a little bit of a chance. But I get it. They're at the pro level. They're afraid to do it because the coaches are getting paid a lot, so they don't want to take that risk. But he's willing to take that risk. So but you're right. You go to one of Augie's games, you're going to see something.
the
refs joking.
The refs have to ask each other. Was that just legal, what I just saw? they don't know.
They don't. Well, let's move on. We want to talk about the Twins. We want to talk about, of course, last night, Hastings at that spectacular brand-new Todd Field. Were you able to make it there last night, Augie?
I was, and that's exactly what I was going to bring up. What a beautiful night. And, you know, and Hastings played well. I mean, I know the second half didn't really have a lot of fireworks in it, but it was so cool to watch it out there. I mean, and I'm so glad for Dana and his staff, because Dana Strand's a class guy, to get their first game. Hey, doesn't matter if they lose the rest of the games, the rest of their lives. I mean, not that they would stay there. They won the first one in the new field. So that's really important, you know. I think it is. It sets the tone for maybe the season for them guys, builds confidence into the next game. But it couldn't have been a more perfect night. It was just the whole atmosphere was really cool. I loved it, and they played very well. I was very, very impressed. So
I didn't get to make it up there last night, but I'll make it to the next home game. But I know Nick and the other crew, the scorekeepers and all of that, were just so happy because in our case, after 30 years of broadcasting, that's the length of time that I've owned this radio station and the 30 years that we've done the games, it's the very first game that they got to broadcast from the home team side, the Hastings side. Thank you, Tim.
Yeah.
They were always made fun of on the, because, you know, the people would open the window and then they'd hover around there standing, listening to what the broadcasters were saying about the game. Yeah. So he had to really practice being neutral.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if that's a good thing. He'll get heckled worse on the home side.
Yeah. Well, so, you know what? With the windows open and the visiting team in front of you, they'll go, God, this team sucks. You know,
But, yeah, what a perfect night with a perfect ending. And, boy, I'll tell you, that stadium down there looked sharp. I mean, we were always proud of it, but, man, those improvements are just breathtaking.
Well, and I liked when Trent took us on the tour as a board the previous week and not everything was done. When you sit on a facility committee 2 years and a half in front of it, you're just, at that point, you're just talking about all the what-ifs and maybes, and you know that there's a lot more discussion. But I think one of the things that the board and I were impressed that, and people who were on the facility committee that we didn't have a chance to talk about then, is that they still went with simplicity to a degree. So what I mean by that is, like, the 10 yards, the 20 yards, the 30 yards, Trent said that, you know, we could have striped those in colors, the numbers, but we kept them just white because that's what it would have been like back in 1950. The scoreboard could have been this huge Megatron with, you know, replay and all these other things on there. And again, Trent said that when it got down to it, wanted to kind of keep it to the legacy of what, you know, Todd Field is at McNamara Stadium and have a nice scoreboard, but not go crazy and overboard. And so, thanks to Trent and others who continued to move forward with it, to have those discussions of, let's still keep it that legacy feel and that Todd, Field feel, and even the green turf itself, if you look at it, there's different shades of color, and he informed us that gives it kind of the natural grass look, like it was mowed differently, if you know what I mean.
Yep.
And so all those little things that went into the discussion and the decision making that were never part of the big facility committee, just kudos to Trent and others who tried to keep that, how do you say it, old school home field, even with a new turf. And you appreciate it even more once you looked at it. You're like, oh, yeah, I like that. We need to have some lines for soccer. We need to have some lines for lacrosse, but still, let's try to keep it as simple as possible so it does look old school, and definitely that came out in the design. And as I said, it's not only for that Friday night game, it's for all the youth that are going to be able to use it again. And trying to talk to our board about that they want to get JV teams down there. They want to give them access. They want to give the sophomore team a game there. They want to give them some practice time there. Lacrosse, the same thing. And as Augie knows, with all the different sports and the youth programs, to get them on there too, it's going to hopefully be used a lot more than just in the evening. So, yeah. And there's still some, as always, we talked about this earlier, Dan, there's always a few things that still need to be crossed off the checklist that we need to improve on, and that will get taken over time here.
You bet. Let's move on. We have about, Augie, hang on. We have about less than 90 seconds here. Let's talk about the Twins real quick here. Augie, we're going to be cut off. We're about 50 seconds away.
I know, but I want to say congratulations to Tim, though. real quick.
Okay.
90 seconds.
Yep.
I know we could talk about the Twins next week. You brought it up. Because, you know, you have done a wonderful job for the community, Tim. But the thing is I'm not going to be sad that you're gone. I'm going to congratulate you that you're gone because you and I are going to be doing the same thing. We're both retiring this year.
I knew
I'm done. You're done. Hey, no, but it's an accomplishment in your life. And it's time. And you think it's time to move on. And for me, definitely for me, it's time to move on. I'm going to enjoy my life the way it is. And I say good luck to you. I don't know what color horse you're riding in on. Or out on. I know. I'm going to ride out in the sunset with my head out, held up high, after 30 some years of being a mailman, and I'm going to enjoy my life.
And so, I think Tim is leaving in a way that not a lot of superintendents or a lot of people that retire get to leave, and that's on a high note. In that the district is in the best shape it's ever been in its history. With that, I got to go, gentlemen. We're already into a break that I have to take.
All right.
Thank you very much.
Thank
we'll do you. This again next week, same time, same place.